It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The House Republican plan to repeal and replace Obamacare has gotten a skeptical reception from some Republicans, but nearly universal opposition from Democrats in the House. One of those is Atlanta Democratic Congressman David Scott, and he joins us now. Congressman, welcome.
Oh, Dennis, good to be with you always.
Now, it's true that more Georgians have gotten coverage under the Affordable Care Act since it was enacted, and it's also true that increases in health care costs are not as great as they were. But also, premiums have shot up, especially here in Georgia, and insurers have continued to leave the exchange, so Georgians, in effect, are paying more for less these days. So is there any doubt that Obamacare is not fulfilling its promise, which is exactly what the Republicans are arguing?
First of all, let me just express to you and to your listeners just how terrible what the Republicans are doing is. No law is perfect. Obamacare is not perfect. But Obamacare has been successful. It has brought down the lowest uninsured rate in American history. That's number one. 3.4 million children, 3.6 million patients with pre-existing conditions gained coverage under the Obamacare. And on top of that, parents can keep their children on their insurance plans until they're age 26. And insurers cannot place annual or lifetime limits on care. What I want to get out first, Dennis, is this. They're painting a very warped, bad picture of the Affordable Care Act, affectionately known as Obamacare, in order to use this issue as a political punching bag. And the American people deserve better. This is their health care. And so when we get to the issue of the high costs and premiums, it is not laid down at the feet of a negative operation within Obamacare. It's because of the fact that many states have not fulfilled all the implications that targeted keeping the premium costs down. Now, we know that's a problem. Let's address that cost of premium care. We know that the insurers, many of them are leaving in Georgia, for instance, and I talked to Blue Cross Blue Shield. I think they're the only insurer left. Clearly, we cannot go on with that. But does that mean you throw the baby out with the bath here? No. What we've got to do is treat this just as we've treated other major policy programs, going all the way back to Social Security. We didn't always have that, but it went in, and we had to keep dealing with it left and right each time. Medicare, that is something that we continue to work with. When I first got up here, we made a fundamental change of Medicare Part D. I worked with the Republicans on that, as a matter of fact. So all I'm saying, Dennis, and I'll hush up and hear you, but I do want to send this clarion call out to the American people, to the people of Georgia, everybody under the sound of my voice. This is not good. What the Republicans are doing to throw this entire thing out, we don't know yet what they're going to replace it with. And man, health care is too precious not to have that. So that's why I had a conversation with Speaker Paul Ryan. And I asked him, and I think this is the way we're going to go, Dennis, if I'm not mistaken, but at some point, as the American people, the people of Georgia, rise up and say, hey, this ain't right. I don't understand this. I don't think we should turn loose what we got to help us. And this thing has put more people, and if we pass what the Republicans are offering, 18 million people, half of whom are children, will be without health insurance. That cannot happen.
But the Republicans are proposing tax credits, and insurers may get back into the marketplace with those. And won't that increase the coverage and the choices for people?
No, that will not do that, because that is offset by this drastic undermining of health care for our senior citizens. They're not telling you that under our bill, under the Affordable Care Act, enrollees in their 50s and 60s benefit from a restriction on insurers to only charge them three times more than the youngest policyholders. And the reason for this restriction is so that older adults, those on fixed incomes, do not face extremely high premiums. But this Republican bill just really attacks our seniors in a most unmerciful way. It will raise to five times that amount. In other words, as a result, 60 to 64-year-old people will see their annual premiums rise by 22%. That needs to be brought. Dennis, what I'm saying is here, we got smoke and mirrors here. We got a problem here that we are going about in a political promising way. With all due respect to President Donald Trump, I understand we're all politicians, and he made that a clarion call. Repeal and replace Obamacare. And so he's moving on a political trajectory, not in the best interests of the overall health care of the American people.
Now, the plan that the Republicans are proposing, though, does retain some features of Obamacare. For instance, kids can stay on their parents' insurance policies until age 26.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rejection, if you will, for pre-existing conditions.
Hold on there. Now, there is a situation where that is not necessarily true. While this bill does not remove protections for individuals with pre-existing condition, it had to find some way to encourage healthy people to come into the market. So instead of the individual mandate, this Republican bill would allow insurers to charge anyone who's had a lapse in coverage for more than 63 days 30% more for that individual's premium for 12 months. Now, many people have lapses in coverages, you know, like when they change or lose their job. We are a mobile society. They may move to a different state. They may just want to choose a new insurer, but this could actually discourage healthy people from entering the market until they are sick and need help to get by. This was the crucible of what Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, did. It found a way to be able to have everybody have a buy-in. We let the kids stay on to 26, but after they turned that, and we did not, Dennis, because quite honest with you, when we were working on this bill, that whole 26 situation came about to try to provide assistance to those low and middle income people. But all hue and a cry went up. $1 million families, $2 million families. And so we let it go on the Senate side. But that was intended to help. But that was a compromise. So if your family is a billionaire family, you still can stay on your family insurance till then. But my whole point in this that I want to get across to the American people is the impact that this will have in my state of Georgia. This bill will make deep cuts to Medicaid that primarily serves the children and the elderly, correct? But the bill would put what is known as per capita caps, which shifts the cost of the program to Georgia. Georgia will have to pay for this if we keep it. And to handle that burden, Georgia would either have to raise revenue, raise taxes to cover what the federal government will no longer pay, or cut benefits, eligibility, or reimbursement rates. And you know, Dennis, Georgia's Medicaid program covers 2 million people, most of them children and the elderly. I appreciate you letting me have time to get these facts out. And I know your time is running there, but I do want to say to the people of Georgia that this Republican proposal will halt the progress we have made in Georgia and leave Georgia with a multi-million dollar bill to keep that service going or cut it, and our people, 2 million of them, will have nothing.
Congressman, conservatives on the Republican side also oppose this plan, but here's the catch for Democrats. They really don't have the votes in Congress to get what they want. So strategically now, do you and other Democrats have to work with this plan and get it passed, maybe with some changes you can negotiate, to keep a plan that you might consider to be even less desirable from passing with a Republican majority, even if they don't get Democratic votes?
I think we're going to have to look at that as we move down. I talked with my good friend and colleague, Tom Price, who we served together in state senate, of course, many years, and here in Congress. He's now over the Health and Human Services. And he says to me, this is three phases, David. First, this is this preliminary bill. Then we got to deal with the rule. Then we will come back with a third and final bill.
Yeah, he mentioned that during his press conference a couple of days ago. So what are your conditions for working with Republicans who might be willing to stick with this plan rather than go with perhaps what some more conservative members of their delegation might want?
Well, certainly, I want to make sure that we keep our promise to the American people and the people of Georgia in dealing with their health care. And that means a better coverage at a lower cost. And that's what the American people deserve. Now, there are areas in which we need to look at. For example, we have brought a great need for more physicians and doctors. Yet the number one reason why young people not going into medicine and there's a shortage of physicians to provide the health care is because of the high cost of medical liability insurance. When the kid gets out of medical school, he has all those bills and then the high cost. We have got to put something in here, and that is something that will pull both parties together as well.
So you're talking now, about liability insurance reform.
Yeah, liability insurance reform. Listen, look at Grady Hospital, for example. And Grady, like so many of our Georgia hospitals, they have to accept anyone and everyone who just walks through the door. But under our bill, the Obamacare bill, the benefit, they went from nearly a one-third drop in uncompensated care. In other words, what I'm saying, this uncompensated care, I don't care who you are, you're in a car wreck, you're sick, whatever, you go to the emergency room. But it is the emergency room section of our hospitals and our healthcare providers that is the most expensive. So people are going to have to be taken care of. We are going to have to do this. And we got to find a way here for Democrats and Republicans to come together. But it cannot come together under this bill. And this bill has to be removed from consideration. And as I suggested to Speaker Ryan, appoint a good bipartisan committee, Democrats and Republicans, working on it. There are certainly things. The iPad board, for example, is something the Republicans are pushing. The medical liability with sweeteners in there. But we cannot eliminate the taxes that go to the wealthy, that are placed on wealthy, to help pay for the law. Somebody's got to pay for this. And people have to understand that. We are going to put some more sweeteners in here to get young people more in that. Young people have to come in. But, you know, in your and my young days, we thought we'd live forever, wouldn't get hurt and everything else. We weren't worried about that. But as you get older, those things change. But I want to say this, because at the nonpartisan, bipartisan tax policy center, under this bill, individuals who earn more than $774,000 a year will receive a tax cut of $34,000. That cannot exist. We have to be Americans here. We have to understand that we have a growing population. There are millions more in our country now. We're letting refugees and other immigrants coming in by the millions, and that puts even a more strain. So it's we cannot cut. Plus, we got an aging population. I mean, even with Medicare, Social Security is put in, average age was like, what, 40, 45? Then we keep going. Now, the 70 and 80 is the new 40 and 50. So all I'm saying, Dennis, is that we've got to be realistic. I told Speaker Ryan that I volunteer myself. I would love to serve on a bipartisan committee. I know from my own experience, my own every success, every bill that you covered of me, whether it was the kids' gun control bill, whether it was a landfill, you know my history. And each one of those, I had Republican support. The Republicans cannot make the mistake that President Obama made. Obama didn't get one vote. And I even told the president, I said, Mr. President, throw in here medical liability insurance. You need to get it passed bipartisan. That's how Medicare got there. That's how Social Security got there. This is a sterling, magnificent moment to show the American people the way. And that way is bipartisan, with us Democrats and Republicans working together on this most crucial issue.
Georgia Democratic Congressman David Scott. Congressman, thanks so much again for being with us.
Thanks, Dennis.